Coming up next, Howard Holly presents Against All Odds. And now your host, Howard Holly.
Good morning, and welcome to Against All Odds. My name is Howard Holly. I'm here with my co-host, Kristen Weitzel. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning, Howard.
So, Kristen, tell me what's going on. What's been happening on social media and the buzz about our show?
Crickets.
What is that?
I don't know where these listeners are, but they are not on our Facebook. So everybody needs to go like us. We're Howard Holly Presents on Facebook. We post things about being successful. We can take requests or recommendations for guests, questions, comments, and we post pictures of the guests, pictures of us in the studio, all kinds of fun stuff.
Great. We'll talk again about how you find us at the end of the show. So, Kristen, last week we had our first author on the show, Susan Slater.
We did. She writes mystery novels, and one novel that helped her get through a hard time in her life when her husband, she was 60, and her husband left her for a 22-year-old, and she used the writing to get through that. So.
And she was struggling with other things in her life at the same time.
She called it the perfect storm. Yeah, her parents had died. She had cancer twice. Yep. She lost her friend. Mm-hmm. And the writing really helped her get through that. But she had some good advice, too, for the listeners about, you know, having tough skin, following your heart, you know, just doing it if you feel like it's something you should be doing. And then also having a mentor.
Great. Yeah, I thought it was an excellent interview, and I was really pleased to have Susan as our first author on the show. And we're about first. So today we've got another first, and our guest today is the first judge that we've had on the show. Now, you know, a few weeks ago we had Mike Cimento, who was one of the first to hang his shield, or what is that called?
Shingle.
Oh, yeah, shingle. That's what it was. To hang his shingle as an attorney in Palm Coast 40 years ago. And now today we're going to have Judge Grimes. Judge was is a retired 7th Judicial Circuit Court judge. He was elected to the Volusia County bench in 1988 and appointed by Governor Bush to the Circuit Court in 1999, primarily handling family and judicial court cases. He's a highly respected juror who retired January of this year after 25 years on the bench. Welcome, Judge Grimes.
Thank you, Howard. We appreciate the invitation and opportunity to be able to chat.
Well, thank you, sir, for agreeing to come on our show and share your experience. Now, Judge Grimes, I know you were born in Bartow, Florida here, and I could tell the year, but I'm not going to do that. But how did you get from there? I couldn't help but looking at your bio and understanding your background. I had to ask, how did you get from there to Kentucky State?
Well, again, just grateful to have an opportunity to be on the show. And the title of your show actually is a true definition of my life story, Against All Odds. Actually, I had some friends that were going to school in Kentucky at the time. One of my dear friends was attending Eastern Kentucky University, and two other friends were attending Kentucky State. I wanted to attend an HBCU, Historically Black College or University, because I'm deeply desirous of wanting to strengthen my own personal culture. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something a little different. A number of my friends were staying in the state and attending Florida A&M. But I wanted to do something a little different. Secondly, they also had a medical technology program. And at the time, I was actually considering going into medical school. And I thought that that would be a great segue to do so. So I decided to do something different, launch out into the deep. And that's how I ended up in Kentucky. And it was a great – I actually went there sight unseen.
Wow.
I was only – the only knowledge I had other than what I read about through the catalogs – and the application process was what my friends were telling me. So I trusted them, and it turned out to be a great experience. I had met a lot of great people down through the through that experience there, and people from all parts of the country, amazingly, since Kentucky is situated pretty much in the central part of the country.
Certainly is. And it's not like today where you could go on the Internet and Google it and take a look at pictures and learn about it. So you really probably truly did go there sight unseen.
Enter what?
Yeah, enter what? So, yeah. Judge Grimes, you know, you said you were thinking about or looking at medical technology. So when did you and how did you decide to make that turn in the road and pursue a legal career?
Well, quite honestly, as a child, I was influenced strongly by a television show, none other than Perry Mason. Usually after school, when I was, I would come and I would actually stay at my aunt's house after school while my parents were working. And after I'd finished my homework, Perry Mason was always coming on, I think around about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon. And just kind of got into that show, started watching him, and I was always impressed how Perry was able to help people that were in trouble. And so that sort of cemented in my mind, coupled with the fact that my, my mother was very much involved in our local community, everything from the church to the PTA to the Women's Civic League, involved with voter registration and a host of other things. And so I got involved because I wanted to make a difference and I wanted to be able to help people. So that seed was planted early on. And even though during my high school years, I thought about attending medical school because I truly enjoyed biology. And but later after I got to college, and this was right at the in the early 70s, so here we are, still there's a very activist period going on. There are all kinds of changes taking place in our society. And so that desire to want to get back onto law school was, in fact, rekindled. And it was as a result of that that I got involved very much in the in the student politics, became SGA president, and, of course, ultimately ended up in law school.
Now, I think, by the way, that that's an interesting path. You know, kids who choose to get involved in student government, you know, generally do pursue either an elected office or a legal career. And it tends to be a good experience and opens their eyes. So that's a good thing for you to share there. Now, I just want to make this comment, you know, Kristen here, because you're remote today and calling in, but so you can't see, but Kristen just Googled Perry Mason so she could figure out who he was.
I've never heard of Perry Mason.
Okay. Well, you know, it's amazing because so many young people that I speak in front of today have that same expression. Like,
Perry who? Yeah.
That's how I felt. So yeah. I Googled it on my phone. I now know who Perry Mason is.
All right.
Yeah. A fictional defense attorney.
That's right. That's right. He was very successful, of course, because it was fictional. So, Judge Grimes, I know that you made a comment I read, and my question is around what motivated you to be elevated to the bench. That's basically my question. But in my research, you know, you're quoted as saying, I thought I could make a contribution to the judiciary and open doors for other persons of color. Did you do that in your 25 years? And how do you measure that you did?
Well, I hope that I have. One was breaking the barrier. Some would call it a glass ceiling. I called it just a barrier because up until the time of my election in 1988, there had been no black judges in our circuit, in our county, in any capacity. And so there were those who believed that, and I actually had people tell me when I announced that I was going to run, that that Volusia County was not going to elect a black judge. And I took the position that nothing ventured, nothing gained. And I felt like if I would, you know, get out there and try, that I think my mother used to say it this way. She said, nothing beats a failure but a try.
Right.
And I decided I would do that. And so feeling as if I didn't have anything to lose. And even though, you know, if we look at just purely stats, the population of the Volusia County of Daytona Beach was about 33% black. But the population as a whole was about 10% countywide.
That's correct.
But even smaller percentage of that in terms of voting population. So I was not only looking for the support of the African-American community, but I realized that part of my journey had to be a bridge builder. And I believe that because of my, I had been in Daytona Beach approximately 8 years, had been involved with a number of different community organizations from the Chamber of Commerce on the one hand to the NAACP on the other, and a number of different groups in between. And so it was through that process that I felt like, okay, we can do this. It's, you know, I'm going to try, I'm going to shoot my best shot and work hard. And we were successful. We had five opponents in that race and we were able to prevail. Now, you asked the question, have I succeeded in terms of being able to open doors for other black folks to follow? I certainly hope so. And not only, I would say that we actually no Hispanic judges in the county at that time and our circuit. And in fact, I believe there was only, not my recollection, that there was only one other female judge in the circuit at that time. That was Gil Graziano. And of course, I can tell you that since that time, The makeup of the bench has in fact changed. Mm-hmm. It is more diverse, although it certainly can have a big grounds for improvement. There are at this point there are 3 African American county court judges, although there aren't any African Americans on the circuit court bench. I hope and believe that there will be some, mm-hmm. Hopefully in the near future. And of course there is there are several Hispanic judges. And of course, there's several female judges.
Good.
And so the diversity of the bench is changing. And I hope that some way along that I may have had some impact in getting people to believe in themselves and to try it.
Well, I'm certain that you have. And it's evident in the results. And while it's maybe hard to tie a string directly to it, when you do open a door like that, all you can do is look back and say, who else came behind you? And so,
and fortunately for me, the 3 county judges mm-hmm. were all came through in some way. I had some type of direct influence. Yeah. Former prosecutors in front of me that got started. Mm-hmm. One, of course, was I worked in legal services, which is where my background was. And then amongst the judges that are on the bench now, 3 of them are former prosecutors that were that started out in front of me. So
wow.
Hopefully along the way we had some influence.
Huge impact. So, Judge, if you would just hold on a minute, we're going to take a break for our sponsors, and we will be right back. You are listening to Against All Odds with Judge Grimes.
Let's face it, your customers are searching online. Are they finding you? Websites are drawing all the traffic. Your business needs to get better placement online and get noticed. At Marlin Consulting Solutions, located in Palm Coast, we use the latest SEO techniques to get you noticed online. I'm Jason Johnson, owner of Marlin Consulting Solutions. You can contact us at 386-957-9311 or find us online at marlincs.com.
Howard Holly Presents Against All Odds is being brought to you in part by Touchpoint Alliance. Touchpoint Alliance, a global alliance for communication excellence, headquartered here in Palm Coast, provides end-to-end communication solutions that help colleges, universities, and associations acquire, retain, and grow their customer base. Visit us at www.touchpointalliance.org or for a free consultation, call us at 386-283-5906.
Welcome back. You are listening to Against All Odds. My name is Howard Holly. My co-host is Kristen Wetzel, and our guest today is Judge Hubert Grimes, retired Judicial Circuit Court, the 7th Judicial Circuit Court in Volusia. So, Judge, we had a great conversation before we broke for our sponsor and commercial about your background and how you got to the bench and a little bit about your experiences there. I want to turn here in this segment of our show and talk a bit about the obstacles and adversities that you faced. I mean, when people look at your success, and we're going to talk about your book also in this segment, but you've published a book, you've been on the bench for 25 years, you had a legal career prior to that. It appears as if it's been rosy and easy. Is in fact that the fact?
I definitely laugh at that because no, it's been far from easy. There've been struggles all along the way. In fact, I actually got to the county bench after 2 tries. First was an appointment in 1987 that I became a finalist for, but didn't get the appointment. So in 1988, I ran and was successful. Then it took me 4 times: 91, 93, 97, 99. Before I was appointed to the circuit court. And then mm-hmm. even after that, I'd also had applied for the 5th District Court of Appeals and mm-hmm. the Florida Supreme Court mm-hmm. at the encouragement of some of my highly respected friends. And so throughout the way, it has been a struggle. Mm-hmm. By no means was I born with that proverbial silver spoon in my mouth. My mother was a maid working in a doctor's office. My father was a laborer. Started off in the orange groves of Polk County, and then later mm-hmm. on worked for the city as a heavy equipment operator. But all along, we were coming from a working class family where it was expected, in the words of my mother, every tub has to sit on its own bottom. In other words, you're responsible right. for doing something with your life.
Yes.
And we were pushed to do that.
And so you would attribute the motivation to overcome those challenges and obstacles to your parents and your upbringing. Is that what I'm to understand?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, they, you know, like I said, they didn't have a lot, but quite honestly, I didn't find out that my family was poor until I got to college and took a statistics class. And the professor said, if your parents make X number of dollars or less, then you're considered to be poor. I said, really? Nobody told my parents that because we had everything that we needed.
Yeah.
I mean, food on the table, roof over our head. I mean, transportation. We had the basic essentials. But, yes, I think that all of that work, developing the work ethic from a child, working to try to help, you know, do the things I wanted to do, you know, buy my clothes for school, having some money in the house, in my pocket, helping out wherever I could. All of those things were part of my upbringing.
Yeah, and I truly, we've heard that quite often in the interviews that we've had, haven't we, Kristen?
We have.
Where people often use the word perseverance as well, Judge.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your book, How to Keep Your Child from Going to Jail. It seems timeless, so it seems that that would be good advice for quite some time. How do you, you know, tell me about it. What is it about? And how do you get the book to the people who really need it?
Well, the genesis for this particular book was the work doing in circuit court dealing primarily with juveniles. When I got to circuit court, I was appointed to a seat in the land and assigned to the family law division, picking up juvenile delinquency cases, dependency cases for kids that have been abused, neglected, or abandoned, and subsequently injunctions for protection, the whole range of family law cases, ultimately into dissolutions and child custody, child support, et cetera. Well, while sitting in court one day, I remember having read some statistics about the number of turnarounds of children and how 80% of kids who get in trouble the first time do, in fact, turn around. Ultimately, approximately 95 to 96% of kids who are delinquent do, in fact, get on the right track. Well, I remember sitting there looking out over the audience, and I'd had a couple kids, young people, come back to me to tell me thank you for helping to turn their lives around. And I remember thinking, said, you know, out of this courtroom, we're able to turn around a lot of lives. Mm. I say, but what could we do if we could get those kids before they got to court?
Sure.
So that they wouldn't have to go through this process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started thinking about the common threads that I began to see coming through court and what kinds of things that would, in fact, awaken parents to what they needed to do to keep their child from becoming another statistic. And that's really the genesis for the book, to be directed towards parents on the one hand, to be able to tell them the things that are commonalities among kids getting in trouble. But the second thing is also for young people, because I included within that a personal success plan, which was developed by me for the purpose of helping kids to identify the things that could also help them to become successful. In fact, one of my former teachers who read the book told me that that book has an even broader audience. She says it's not just to keep them from going to jail, but it's really to help them to succeed. And I'm grateful for that because the subtitle is Restoring Parental Authority and Promoting Youthful Success.
Exactly. But going back to the second part of my question, how are you getting the book to the people who need it? I mean, we know that, you know, a lot of parents aren't reading. They've got two jobs. You know, there are a lot of factors that at play as to why that child is in front of you. So how are you getting it to people?
Well, of course, it's available on Amazon. It's available. I do a lot of speaking engagements, and I try to make it available there. It's on my website, hubertgrimes.com. And along the way, I would tell you this, that my first challenge was get the book. In fact, when the words of one of my friends said, I think it was his quote was, get it wrote before you get it right.
Right.
And he used that slang in that fashion to say, you know, once you got the book in hand, so the next step is, you know, you can market the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so, quite honestly, we did not have a lot of marketing. We didn't do a lot of marketing while I was on the bench because there's still certain restrictions that judges have in terms of being able to make sure that you don't go awry of the Code of Judicial Conduct. And so I just sort of took it, as you say, one by one, meeting by meeting, church program by church program, workshop by workshop. And so slowly it has continued to get into the community. And then, of course, now that I am off the bench, we're trying to do even more in terms of trying to market this book and get it into the hands of people who need it.
Well, let us know if there's any way we can help at the Holly Group, because I think it's the type of thing that my team would be really excited about supporting. We pick the things to get behind sometimes that are right in the community, and this seems right to me.
Okay.
So as we begin to wrap up, Judge, any words from you to our listening audience here on WNZF and Against All Odds about the keys to success, or any messages that you would want to give to them if they were sitting in front of you in one of the speeches that I've heard you give to two different audiences so far this year?
Well, I'd like to kind of maybe highlight just a couple chapter titles from the book. I think that sort of ties into the whole question of success. Because, again, our parents, we want to make sure that our children succeed and do even better than we've done. Here's a highlight. Becoming a parent means plenty of sacrifice. Here's another chapter. Give the child a spiritual foundation. Mm-hmm. Spend time with your kids. Chapter 8, don't make excuses for your child's misbehavior. Chapter 10, keep a close eye on the friends they keep. Number 13, never allow children to settle for mediocrity. Chapter 15, just because everybody else is doing it is not an excuse for your child to do so. And then, of course, a personal success plan for your child's future. That's just sort of a sample of some of the chapters within the book. And the idea behind success to me is that success has to be inbred in children. And in other words, you've got to, as parents, one of our responsibilities is not only to protect, care, love, and encourage our children, but a big part of that is to be able to push them in such a way that they can succeed,
mm-hmm.
that they set high goals for
mm-hmm.
themselves,
mm-hmm.
that they don't deviate and accept mediocrity or get into the pathway that's going to lead down to destruction. And so a lot of what we have to do is recognize the importance of continuing to work every day. Success doesn't, I think there's this old saying that says, the only place where success comes before hard work is in the dictionary. You know, you've got to put the work in.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
if you do
absolutely.
That, you are going to succeed. Now, will you have some failures along the way? Sure.
Absolutely.
But in my opinion, failure is nothing but a springboard for success.
And you'll face adversity and you'll face obstacles. But it's how you overcome them that will give you the DNA necessary to be successful down the road. No question.
I taught some of my law students, and I used a phrase, a modification of it. I said, if at first you don't succeed, keep trying until you do.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, never give up.
Keep moving,
and you will succeed if you don't give up.
Great. Well, Judge, I wish our show could continue. I wish our conversation could continue, but bring it to an end regretfully. I am honored that you would join us on the show. I think your words are words of wisdom that are based on your success and your contribution. You know, good luck to you, sir, in your retirement. And I really do look forward to working with you as you continue to bring value to the community that we live. Thank you, Judge Hubert Grimes.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. So right now we're going to take our belated commercial break so we can hear from our sponsors, and we will be right back. You are listening to Against All Odds.
This is John Subers for the Florida Hospital Flagler News Update. Florida Hospital Flagler has named Robert Davis to serve as our hospital's chief nursing officer. Robert has been with Florida Hospital for over 16 years and will be responsible for planning and overseeing all administrative functions and clinical standards of practice and care for our patients. For more information, visit FloridaHospitalFlagler.com. This has been a Florida Hospital Flagler News Update.
Your partner for life.
Hi, this is Gretchen Smith of the Flagler County Chamber. Our mission is to help local businesses thrive, which is also the name of our new business-to-business magazine. Thrive is a great tool for area businesses and others considering Flagler as their corporate home. With interesting content, business highlights, trending topics, and insights you won't find elsewhere, Thrive is produced by and for Flagler County businesses. To advertise in this quarterly magazine, call the Holly Group at 386-283-5907. Let us help you thrive.
Welcome back. You are listening to Against All Odds. My name is Howard Holly, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen White. So, Kristen, Judge Hubert Grimes, what an interview.
It was great. He's the first judge I think I've ever spoken to in my life. But
well, that's actually good news.
And I now know who Perry Mason is.
Yeah.
So add that to my list of judges. But I really want to read his book. I mean, I have two kids, little kids, who I'm hoping aren't going to go to jail. But even more than that, how he said it includes that personal success plan for mm-hmm. kids and how to get your kids to succeed. I mean, every parent wants their kids to be successful. And I think he's seen a lot of cases where kids deviated off of that path to success and brought themselves back. But if you can keep your kids from going on that unsuccessful path,
The title is deceiving. But from what he said, the content has a broad appeal. And I think that's a great observation. I liked his nothing ventured, nothing gained. We haven't heard that. We, of course, all have heard the term. Mm-hmm. But applying that to running for office, you know, and I believe in Volusia and Flagler County and also nationally, I think more people need to get involved in the electoral process. And I think sometimes people don't do it because they're afraid that they may lose.
Well, and he lost a lot, and he kept trying. Two tries for the county bench, four tries for the district one.
Yep.
I mean, he lost a lot, but kept at it.
And continued trying for the Supreme Court mm-hmm. And others. So he didn't succeed in everything, and I think that's a great lesson. He talked about work ethic, and I think the risk that he took to leave and go to a school sight unseen and how that worked out for him is a great story as well. You know, he talked also about being a bridge builder
mm-hmm.
As one of the motivations that he thought he could do that. And clearly he has, in fact, done that. So very good interview, excellent person, excellent man who's made great contributions. So Kristen, I know we've got to wrap up. We're running out of time here.
We are.
So anything that we need to say, can you just tell people how to log on? Do we have time for that?
They can like us on Facebook. We are Howard Holly Presents.
All right. So with no more time, again, hopefully you've enjoyed our guest today. We look forward to you joining us again next Saturday on WNZF or on our podcast. My name is Howard Holly, and your name?
Kristen Weitzel.
The best of luck to you in the upcoming week in overcoming your challenges both today and tomorrow. Have a blessed week. Goodbye. We'll